handout. This is on sand and propitiation that Rothman has in the back of his.
I don't need what book does I have none.
Oh, your propitiation?
Hit them. Uh-oh. First time.
You better get some propitiation.
If we hit play, we have to see them. Somebody wasn't listening.
Excuse me.
I have two.
Whoa, okay.
Because you're the extra
thing. That's your extra.
There's a reason for that.
Larger.
When I confessed my sin to my girls group, I had some wine because I was really stressed out, but I drank way too much. And it was my first day in my group Bible study. I just wanted to confess. I drank too much wine last night because I was talking to the phone with my brother. I have to repent. And they were like, ugh. It was neat because the other blessings opened up when I did.
So this is about sin. And, you know, which is death. We're going to find about blood, a substitution, perpetuating, covering, and the forgiveness. Man began, you know, as you know, in Genesis chapter 1, and on the sixth day, two things were created. Man was one, and what was the other one?
Beasts.
The beast. So, to me, a man can be a beast, or he can be in the image of Elohim. I think Elijah, you might have to go back or something. That's pretty good, though. He didn't sleep through Rachel's at all.
Your voice is soothing.
It's soothing, more soothing. Yep.
And so if you go to, and now that's Genesis 1, 24 through 27, we'll try to finish 8. If you go to Psalms 8, and we'll see, I think we belittle ourselves. And we don't realize our potential, and that's why sin is so hideous. And to us, it's really not hideous. We're kind of used to it. And I think we got a wrong attitude on that. And we're going to see.
Did you say Psalm 8?
Yeah, Psalms chapter 8.
You want a piece of chocolate? Ruth, can
531. Yeah, especially
something good to remember at verse 4. What was weak man that thou should make mention of him? Or the son of the earthborn that thou should have set him in charge? Now think of that. We're going to be in charge. That thou should make him a little less than Elohim, with glory and honor shouldest crown him. Now think of that. Being crowned, you know, our potential is so high, be crowned with glory and honor by Yahweh. Shouldst give him dominion over the works of thy hands. Yahweh's given us dominion. All things should have put under his feet. Sheep and oxen, all of them. Yea, even the beast of the field, the bird of the heavens, and the fish of the sea. The passersby on the paths of the sea. O Yahweh our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. So we're looking at where man can be, and we see where man can go. And sin, as we're going to see, is... it's really simple. It's death. It's, you know, we say, well, it's just a little sin. I don't deserve death. When it comes down to, but in relationship to Yahweh, it is death. And that's what we're going to see. And see the accomplishment that Christ actually did. As we know in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, it says, if you eat of the tree of fruit of good knowledge, what's going to happen?
You're going to die.
So surely die.
If you ate, what is it? Is that a sin? You're disobeying Yahweh. And if you eat, what do you got? Death. Wow. That's pretty steep. That's how Yahweh has set things up, and that's how we've got to rise to the occasion where we see the severity of sin. And we know in Genesis 3:21, there was a substitute. Instead of them dying, there was a substitute, you know, which was the animal skins. You can't get animal skins if you don't kill the animals. And so what we're going to see is how blood is in relationship and how nephesh is in the blood. And we get to see all this all come together because blood is just all the way through the New Testament. And I'm going to say the New Covenant. We got the Old Covenant, New Covenant. The word Testament is never in this book. It's covenants. Now, a covenant is a bilateral agreement. A testament is not. So Testament. You know, all the time you say Old Testament, New Testament, Testament. In raw form, you look at the source Testament. Doesn't exist. And it should. So we're learning a lot of things by our inaccuracy. All my life, it's New and Old Testament and everything else. So you have to say, okay, so I'm trying to break my help in that. With the Rothman, too, you check the word mercy. Not in the Old Testament. In the Old Covenant. Wow. You look at the word grace. Not in there. It's the wrong word. It's favor. You know, so it's just one error after other, after other, after other, error after error after error. So you've got to be able to look at that. But remember, the substitute who's going to substitute our position was not asked to substitute.
With the animals.
The animal. Okay. The animal who's going to die in our behalf, because we should have died, was not asked, you want to die for me?
Yeah.
You know, so that's an involuntary substitute. Yeah. So we have to start thinking, if I had to kill my cat, my pet dog, or my pet cat, how would that make me feel? Cool. And so that substitution, to be able to say, okay, this is the ramification of sin, which is hataha. That's the Hebrew word 2403, and we're going to see some great things that Rothrath does with it. So we go to Judges 2016, and what does Hatara mean? And to miss the mark. And so we have to understand.
Would you mind giving us that again?
Judges 20, verse 16. I thought this was a good illustration.
282.
And what I'm going to try to do is not tell people the pages, because I think if we keep telling people the pages, they're never going to learn the Bible.
Then you slow down.
This is a teaching.
That's all right. So people can learn the Bible, and then it kind of gets them to start memorizing the things, unless it's Obadiah or Amos, you know, there's some really things
Zephaniah.
That we don't use very much at all. But that's what I'm going to try to do that. Chapter 20, verse 16, and here's the word hata. And out of all his people were 700 chosen men, left-handed, anyone whom could sling with a stone to the hair's breadth, and what?
Not miss.
And that's sin. That's where sin, not sin. Hatua. And so sin is missing the mark. Is missing the mark. These guys, could they miss the mark? No. They did not miss the mark. And so our objective is not to miss the mark. And the first use is Genesis 4:7, which is good. Let's go here. And this is something else that Rotherham pointed out. It's very fascinating. It's the first usage of the noun.
Sin? Were you translate sin?
Hato.
We're used to sin? Is that what we're looking at?
We're looking at the word sin.
Okay.
Hatara. The first usage of the noun. There's a verb. Remember, Hebrew words come from the verbs. All basically Hebrew words come from the verb. And so whenever they say, where's this word? Look at this. And it'll show you the verb. So Hebrew nouns come from the verb.
So, whereas in English, it's the other way around, isn't it?
I don't know. We'll have to just check on that. Another subject. But that's the first uses of it. And 4:7. And this is about Cain's bad sacrifice. Shall it not, if thou do right, be lifted up? Yahweh's talking to him. But if thou do not right, at the entrance, a sin bearer is lying. Excuse me. This is really interesting. And so, in your paper, you look under sin, sin offering, sin bearer. You know, the headline. Right down here, the big headline. Sin, sin offering, sin bearer. Everybody see that? It's always the word sin. There is no sin offering or sin bearer. And Rotham's going to show you that. And that's what this article is about. He's going to put bearer in sin, but it's the word sin. Hatara only. And we're going to say this is very interesting. And that's why when you get home, read this article, both of these articles, to give you an idea. And so that's really, if thou do not write at the entrance, sin is lying. And other translations will do that. But we'll show this. Now we go into the blood, and the blood is is the nephesh, as we're going to say the nephesh, which is the word people translate soul, is in the blood, which is the life. The life, and that's why the blood has to be spilt. So Leviticus 17, 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 17, 11.
See 13.
And so we got to learn, when somebody says the word soul, we say, what Hebrew word are you referring to? And they'll say, I don't know. Say, what you say is soul is not what it is. You know, and the only way you can, the only word you can say soul is nephesh. Nephesh is not something that's inside us that leaves our body when we die. It's not everlasting. No such place. Never has been.
It's our blood.
That's Greek mythology. But we're going to look at right here. The nephesh is where? In the blood. And so when the blood goes out, what happens?
The nephesh.
The nephesh goes out, and what happens to the nephesh? The life.
It's gone.
Dead. It's so dead. Verse 11. Watch, this is really great. For as for the nephesh, life is, we're going to see the word life, life over and over, it's nephesh. For as for the nephesh of the flesh, in the blood it is. Therefore have I given it unto you upon the altar to put a propitiatory covering over your lives, over your souls. For the blood it is which by virtue of the soul maketh propitiation. For this cause have I said unto the sons of Israel, not a person from among you shall partake of blood, even the sojourner that sojourneth in your midst shall not partake of the blood. And let me see here. 14. For as the nephesh of all flesh, the blood thereof, for the nephesh thereof standeth, therefore have I said unto the sons of Israel, of the blood of no manner of flesh shall you partake, for the nephesh of all flesh is in the what? Blood thereof. Whose partakers thereof shall be cut off. And that's why the blood has to be spilled, because that life has to die. And so the consequences of sin is death. As we know, that the rewards of sin is death, and that's in Romans also. Yeah, let's go to Genesis 9, verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 4 and 5.
You want some water, Chuck?
What?
Do you want some water?
No, I just, it's probably just a little phlegm. Thank you, though. Your flesh with the nephesh thereof, the blood therein shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your nephesh will I require. From the hand of every living creature will I require, and from the hand of man. From the hand of each one's brother will I require the nephesh of man. He that sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of Elohim made he man. And that's where we come in with capital punishment after the flood. And there's also a place, we won't go there, Deuteronomy 12, 23 to 24, but the nephesh, you know, so we're looking at sin, and to get a propitiation, a covering for sin, blood has to be spilt. And what's in that blood?
Life.
Life. That something's got to die. It's either a substitute or you. And as we say in capital punishment, there is no substitute. You die. And now we look at the transference of that substitute. And that's Leviticus 4, verse 27. And this was the laying on of hands on the animal. So my sin is now being put upon this animal who's going to die in my behalf.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, chapter 4, verse 27 through 29. And if any person shall sin by mistake from among the people of the land, by his doing anything departing from any of the commandments of Yahweh, as these things which should not be done, and shall become aware of his guilt, for his sin which he hath committed shall be made known unto him. Then shall he bring in as his oblation a kid of the goats, a female without defect, for his sin which he hath committed, and shall lean his hand. This is it. This is the transference of your sin to another. So think of this with Christ, you know, as our substitute. And so we put our hands upon Christ's head, and he bore the blood of it. Now the difference is, these animals are not volunteering. Christ did volunteer. There's a huge difference here as a substitute. And shall lean his hand upon the head of this, and the sin bearer, what is that word? Sin. Yeah, not sin bearer. So now let's look at it this way, and he's showing you the ramification of sin. So let's just do this. And he shall lean his hand upon the head of the sin, and shall slay the sin in the place of the ascending sacrifice. And if you look up on online Bible, you'll see there is no word for bear or sin offering. It's just the same word, sin. It's just the sin. So you're laying your hand on the sin, and it's, you know, and you're calling this creature sin.
You're transferring your sin to the creature
and you're calling the creature sin now.
Wow.
Is what it comes down to. So very interesting. It says in Hebrew, it's always that way.
It said that Christ became sin too.
Yeah, he became sin for us. Now look at verse 30-31. Let's see. And then shall the priest take the blood there with his finger, which is the nephesh, that's been poured out, and put upon the horns of the altar of ascending sacrifice. And one other point, too, it's not an atonement. He'll address that in here, too. Atonement means at-one-ment. It has no bearing whatsoever on what's happening. And that's why it's propitiatory covering, which is, we just had that on Sunday and Monday, which is Yom Kippur. That was the Day of Atonement, or the Day of Propitiation, that the Hebrews celebrated, and it was because we're in the seventh month, Tishri, and we had Tishri 1, which is the Day of Shattering. Tishri 10 is Yom Kippur, and Kippur is the word for propitiation. Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Kippur. And kafar, it comes from kafar, which is to cover. So we did a teaching on this in 2016, and when Noah was told to put pitch all around the ark, that was kafar, a covering. Wow. A covering of pitch. And so you're always going to see it's a propitiatory covering. At all the remaining blood thereof shall be poured out at the base of the altar, and all the fat thereof shall he remove, as the fat from off the peace offering was removed, and the priest shall make a perfume at the altar for a satisfying odor unto Yahweh. So shall the priest put a propitiatory covering over him, and it shall be forgiven him. So sin, death, substitutional death, propitiatory covering, forgiveness, which would be reconciliation. So the teaching I did was sin, expiation, which is the payment for sin, propitiation, which is the covering for sin, which results in, right. So you have sin, it has to be paid for, expiation. Now you become favorable. So propitiation also has been favorable. And now it's been done as favorable, which gives forgiveness, which makes us reconciled back to Yahweh. So here's the whole standard that we go through.
We've been purchased.
Yeah. And now guilt is the same way. So whenever you see guilt offering or guilt bearers, it's only guilt. And watch what they do this in, chapter 5 of Leviticus, 17 and 19.
You say guilt is the same thing. What do you mean?
Yeah, we're going to see it. So whenever it says guilt bearer, the word bearer is not there. Guilt offering is not there. It's just guilt. Guilt. And so, obviously they do this because people need to see it. They're not going to get it. And so in his appendix of the Old Testament, this is in there, which is very important to read. I just blew it up. But that's the exact same thing. Now watch, it happened here too. And he'll say that in there. 5:17-19. If any person, when he shall sin and do something departing from any of the commandments of Yahweh as to things which should not be done, though he knew it not. This is interesting. So all of us sometimes, we sinned and I didn't know I was even sinning. And I did that with 1 Corinthians 5 when it says, if your brother is a fornicator, don't eat with him. Well, I ate with my brother's a fornicator. So I didn't even know it. Though he knew it not. Well, you're cool. No. shall so become guilty, and he shall bear his iniquity. Then shall you bring in a ram without defect of the flock. And we can remember that too. God, if willingly sin, am I willing to kill a $100, $200 animal every time I sin? $500 animal? Now think about that. If I'm going to really weigh this out, because it's going to cost you. It's really simple. Sin is going to...
heart thing.
Because guess what? If it's a sin offering, you're not going to eat it. It's not a sacrifice. This is going to be an Asinia offering, which means it's all going to be burned up. And so you have to go, man, that was really costly. But if you rise to be in the image of Elohim, you're fighting that and you're resisting that and you're purifying yourself from that. Not if you're on economic, because Yahweh wants to crown me with glory and honor. How could I lay him down? You know, to be able to say, made me in that image of Elohim, why would I want to spit upon my father? 18. Then shall he bring in a ram without defect to the flock by thine estimate as a guilt. That's all. Unto the priest, and the priest shall put a propitiatory covering over him on account of his mistake which he made, though he knew it not, and it shall be given him a guilt. It is, he was very guilty against Yahweh. So it's just guilt. Interesting.
That's
read the article.
Guilt bearer.
Yeah, just get the word, forget the bearer. So we're really getting, just, you're going to read the article, it'll explain all this. We don't have really time. You're going to have to read it a couple times, because sometimes you're like, what? What? But you know, think of Christ, think of the ramifications of sin. I think with Christianity we become very loose, very, very loose with sin. To say, well, I don't save myself. And then also to realize, what did Christ actually accomplish? I mean, really. Now we go into sin is equal to death, equal to blood, equal to nephesh. And so here's just an example, Exodus 35:1. We're talking to Aaron, mom, and I read this and I thought, man, ramifications of sin. And this is about the Sabbath. You know, here's the commandment. And Moses called together all the assembly of the sons of Israel and said unto them, these are the things which Yahweh hath commanded to do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day shall there be shall be to you a holy Sabbath keeping unto Yahweh. Whosoever doeth work thereof shall be what?
Put to death.
Put to death. Now just think of that. Watch this. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Important to Yahweh? Put to death. I mean, this is... that's the severity of it. Now we go to Numbers 15:32. Leviticus 15:32, we get to see this in action. Now that was done before this occurrence. Is somebody going to do that? You want to read, Aaron, you want to read 32-36?
Okay. While the sons of Israel were in the desert, they found a man gathering sticks on the Shabbat day. And they who found him gathering sticks brought him near unto Moshe and unto Aharon and unto all the assembly. And they put him inward because it was not clear what they should do unto him.
Now remember, this was written, Exodus was written before Numbers. And so they know what the commandment is. I guess you're probably going to get a verification. Are we really going to put this guy to death? Go ahead.
Then said Yahweh unto Moshe, the man shall be put to death, all the assembly, stoning him with stones outside the camp. So then all the assembly put him forth outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. And as Yahweh commanded Moshe.
So we also got to see when Christ looks like he's breaking the Sabbath. Is that severe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's death if you break the Sabbath. It's death. And so let's think of that transition period, and same way with circumcision. If you aren't circumcised, you're cut, right, from Abraham. So we have to understand, and we try to communicate this with Aaron and other people too. How do we know the laws changed? Because the Yahweh gave them miracles for Paul to raise the dead, for Peter to raise the dead. And guess what? Circumcision doesn't have to be anymore. How dare you go against Abraham? But because of what signs you have done, that only Yahweh could do those signs, so that validates what you're saying and you're teaching. And this is why I think a lot of people are not given the power of consistent healing like in those days, because if they teach wrong doctrine, what are people going to do? Well, Yahweh's with this guy. He's raising the dead. He's like, you know, here's an Andrew Womack. And there's a real, real danger. Does Andrew Womack teach false doctrines?
Yeah,
he does.
You can do whatever
you want. And so when you're consistently healing people, all right, I can see there's a problem there. You know, and so I can see why Yahweh holds back on some of this stuff, because it actually validates the person that they're actually from Yahweh.
Yeah.
When and in this particular area, they're not. And so I see hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss. And I think with Oral Roberts, he told Kenneth Copeland, he thinks maybe about 10% of the people got healed. And with Christ, guess what?
All of them.
100%. You know, nobody's been like Peter, you know, with the shadows healing people as you walk down. And just all this other stuff that's going on. So you're looking at a phenomenon. But that, another subject. So blood and Christ, that Christ was the willing sacrifice. So if you want to know about blood, it's in the book of Hebrews, 22 times used. Let's just go with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Try to get all this in before 8 o'clock. Now the book of Hebrews, which is not for us, but we get to see what, you know, because it's to the Hebrews, obviously. We get to see the culmination of what Christ actually accomplished. Well, there's no more day of, and Yom Kippur means day of Kippur, day of propitiation. We found that out. So 9:6 through 28. Now these things having been thus prepared in the first tent, indeed, this was, he's going back to the naos, or the debar, into the first tent, indeed continually do the priests enter, the divine services completing, but unto the second, this is what just happened Sunday and Monday, Yom Kippur, but unto the second once for all in the year, that's Leviticus 23 and Leviticus 16, only the high priest, not without blood, which, you know, so the blood is the death, it's the soul life that's coming in, which he offered for himself and the ignorance of the people. The animals did not volunteer. The Holy Spirit made this evident, that not yet hath been manifest the way through the holy place, so long as the first tent hath the standing, the which is a similitude for the present season, according to which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot, as to the conscience, perfect him that render the divine service, only as to eating and drinking and diversified immersions, righteous appointment of the flesh, which until a season of rectifying are in force. But when Christ approached as high priest of the coming good things, through the greater, more perfect tent, not made by hand, that is, not of his creation, nor yet through blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered once and for all into the holy place, that's the Debar, age abiding, redemption discovering, and what was the Debar mean?
Speaking place.
Yeah, speaking. So this is where Yahweh spoke. And so the second entrance, where only the high priest could go in, the light was in there. You can imagine that. And if you went in there with anybody beside the high priest on the day of Yom Kippur, you were dead. But you had to come in there with blood. And think of that with Aaron's sons, when they came in with incense that they were giving to Yahweh, but it didn't come from the fire of
the
altar.
Fire, yeah.
Yeah, fire came down and smoked both of them. This is how holy Yahweh is. 11 or 13. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the profane, hallowed unto the purity of the flesh, how much rather shall the blood of the Christ, who through an age abiding ruach, offer himself, and that's it. The substitute who offered himself for us, offered himself unspotted unto Yahweh, purifying our conscience from dead works to the rendering of divine service unto a living Elohim. You see, other people have offered themselves. I think John the Immerser, many prophets, know the consequences of what they're about ready to do, and what they end up doing kills them. So think of that.
My two witnesses.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And for this cause of a new covenant is he mediator to the end that death coming to pass for the redemption of the transgression against the first covenant. So we got death, blood. They called might receive the promise of the age of body inheritance, but where a covenant is, it is necessary for the death, and it's not the testament. It's a covenant. So other people translate, the King James will translate this testament. For it's necessary for the death to be brought in of him that hath covenanted. And how do we do that? You kill the animal, who's your substitute. For a covenant over dead persons is firm, since it is not then of force when he is living, but that covenant, when it's not even the first, apart from blood, hath been consecrated. For when every commandment according to the law hath been spoken by Moses unto all the people, taking the blood of the calves and the goat, with water and scarlet wool and hibiscus,
Hyssop.
Both the scroll itself and all the people he sprinkled, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has sent in command unto you. Yea. The tent also and all the utensils of the public ministry with blood in like manner he sprinkled, which is Nephesh. Nephesh is going all over the life. And nearly all things with blood are purified according to the law, and apart from bloodshedding cometh no remissions. And then you can finish reading 9 and also 10 verses 4 through 20. I'm going to cut it short. But then we go into, it begins in blood in Genesis and it ends in blood in Revelation. So Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. Hey, Milan, you want to read 5 and 6?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And from Yahushua Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and loosed us out of our sins with his blood.
With his blood, that's it. All right, well, that's it. Blood is made right out of his blood. Now we end in chapter 19. This is the last usage of blood. Verse 13. And this is Yahushua coming to earth and arrayed with a mantle sprinkled with what?
Blood.
And his name has been called the Word of Yahweh. So even in the 1,000-year reign, there's going to be sin. All right? And there's going to have to be blood. And there's going to be nephesh spilt. And for 1,000 years, until we get into the last, you know, time in chapter 20, where it's a day of judgment, and death and Sheol are thrown into the lake of fire. And then there's no more death, there's no more blood spitting, because there's no more sin. There's no more death, there's no more sin. Now, the earth has been purified for Yahweh to come down, and that's chapter 21. And we know that. This is when he comes back. So we kind of finish in 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah. Chapter 14 and 15, so this is what we should do every day. And the love of Christ is constraining me. Each day, the love of Christ is constraining me. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all did what?
Die.
Poured out his nephesh. Hence they all died. There is our substitute. We all died. And behalf of all have died, he, look at how he mentioned that. Not only said he died again. Yeah. You know, death is all, in order that they who live, that's us, no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke.
But rose again.
Yeah, but it awoke. That's it. Egera. And verse 21, him who knew not sin, that was it, no reason for him to have his blood cut and his throat cut and his nephesh coming out. him who knew not sin, in our behalf he made to be sin. So think of that. Remember that, you know, like he said, when you put your hand on the animal, he's not the sin bearer, he's sin. Now he became sin, made to be sin, that we might become Yahweh's righteousness in him. And we'll end there. And then make sure, if you can, it really worth a while to read that article on both of those. I think that's a real treasure that everybody needs to get to. And a lot of times you're like, boy.
It sure brings a whole cost into 1 John 1. If we are confessing our sins.
Well, let me just do this. We got a little time.
Yeah,
on the first one.
If we're not confessing our sins, we're not getting forgiven.
The sacrifice covers the sinner. Now, I'm going to go right here at the beginning of the yellow. Just read along with me.
Where at the bottom?
Now, at the top, the first yellow. Aaron, can you read that?
Right here.
First yellow box. I mean, from here to the bottom. Okay.
The sacrifice covers the sinner. How? By dying in his stead. One life covers another with one when one is surrendered, and the other therefore spared. The blow must fall, for the wages of sin is death, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. But it falls on the substitute's life. The dead covers the living. The living is ransomed, pardoned, set free. Such covering is essentially propitiatory covering. Substitution is of its essence. Any possible abuse of this fundamental Hebrew concept will be averted by doing careful and equal justice to the entire Levitical ritual. The offerer consents to the substitution, and by himself or his representative takes an essential part in the transfer of the penalty of the sin which he confesses. Man consents. Yahweh consents the substitutory death is granted by Yahweh. It is accepted by man. It is accepted under the solemn stipulation that the spared life shall be wholly consecrated to the holy and merciful God who brings near this costly salvation.
Isn't that cool? Let's begin again. It is accepted under the solemn stipulation. The stipulation that the spared life shall be wholly consecrated to the holy and merciful Elohim, who brings near this costly salvation. I'll read the next thing.
One thing is wanting in the ritual, the consent of the substitute. Nay, a second thing is missing, adequacy of value in the substituted. But it is so. Then when a substitute shall appear, who shall willingly bear the sin of the world and be worthy to bear it? And God consents and ordains. And man consents and accepts, then the whole idea of propitiatory covering will be complete. It remains for the world and for the individual to carry the matter to its practical consummation.
Yeah, cool.
That is really
cool. Okay. And then we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father. Yeah. And because of Christ's substitute. Now, Father, we thank you for these words. Lord, I thank you, Christ, for being the perfect substitute. We have no idea what you went through. Thank you for the passion of the Christ. We get a little image that we need to be reminded over and over again, and really to consecrate it, you know, to, you know, keep trying to become holy and work towards holiness to please our Heavenly Father. So we thank you for these words. Father, through our Lord and Savior Mashiach Yahushua, be bold and courageous, because you are courageous. You are my sons and daughters whom I put on this earth in order to magnify my goodness, that people can see my life existing in you, that it draws in that light that from darkness draws them to you. So put on my whole mind of Christ, that they may see you shining as Christ also shined. And those who willingly come will come to you asking you how they may become what you are. Amen. See you next week, guys.